Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we have been studying the subject of the anointing. We see throughout the scripture, both Old and New Testament, the word anoint and anointing used in different contexts. We're told in the New Testament that we have an anointing from the Holy One. We see in the Old Testament that God specifically would choose individuals upon whom he would place a specialized anointing. In the Old Testament, the priest, the prophet, and the king were three specific anointings that we can observe and study. Yesterday, we talked about the priest's anointing and how it's applicable today to our lives. The priests that were chosen by God, both Aaron as high priest and his sons as priests, had one specific job: to minister unto the Lord. Today, we also are called to pursue the priest's anointing. The priest's anointing is the anointing on our lives to minister unto God. Today we want to talk about the prophet and the king's anointings. In the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, we find that Elijah had been given a specific task. Starting at verse 15, it said, "And the Lord said to him, 'Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place.'" So here we see Elijah was given an assignment to go and anoint two kings and one prophet. Let's take a look for a few minutes at the prophet's anointing. Elisha had been chosen by God. Elijah had been walking in that office of prophet in Israel. Signs and wonders followed his ministry. He spoke the word of the Lord. The heavens were shut up with no rain for 3.5 years. He ministered in a tremendous anointing of the prophet. And here he was to go now and anoint Elisha to take his place when the time came for him to go to heaven. Elisha turned out to be an excellent choice as one to follow in the footsteps of Elijah. After he was chosen by God, and after Elijah threw his mantle upon him, which was the indicator that he was going to be chosen as his successor, we see that Elisha completely surrendered to the Lord. He was in a field plowing with a multitude of oxen, so we know he must have been from a wealthy family due to the number of oxen, 12 pairs that were being used in the plowing of that field. And Elisha went and kissed his parents goodbye and left and followed Elijah without any further ado. He completely surrendered to the call of God on his life. This is a mark of someone who truly embraces the anointing of God on their life, that total surrender. The second thing Elisha did after being called to be this anointed prophet's successor was that he served Elijah for a period of time. A person who has a true anointing from God is willing to be a servant, has a servant's heart, doesn't think so highly of themselves because God has given them a specific anointing. Pride is something to be avoided at all costs because pride will cost a person their anointing. After observing Elijah's life and knowing that he was soon to be taken up to heaven by God, Elisha wisely sought a double portion of the anointing that he observed on Elijah's life. We can seek and ask God for anointing just like Elisha did. We are told, "Ask and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Elisha knew he needed God's Spirit in a powerful way upon his life if he was going to fulfill God's call as a prophet to Israel. If you are going to fulfill the call of God on your life, and you have been called to declare the word of the Lord, to reveal what God is saying, to proclaim God's standards, you too need the anointing of God on your life. The prophet's anointing brings a supernatural enablement and empowerment to the words spoken by that person to declare God's word, to reveal what God's saying and thinking and what his heart is in a matter and in a specific time, to proclaim the standards of God as God would have them proclaimed, and not in some religious fashion, but in a fashion that is truly marked by the Holy Spirit and not the spirit of flesh. The prophet's anointing is still available today. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor." The preaching of the word, the proclaiming of the word of the Lord is part of that prophet's anointing. Jesus had this anointing. He was prophet, priest, and king all in one. But that anointing of Jesus is still available today. He said, "Greater things than this will you do. You'll do the things I did, and you'll do more than that." That's God's word for New Testament believers. The third type of anointing after the priest's anointing and the prophet anointing is the king's anointing. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see the story of the anointing of David, the young shepherd boy, to be the eventual king of Israel. Samuel did the anointing, and in this chapter 16, verse 12, it says, "So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward." The anointing of God, the tangible presence and power of God coming upon a believer's life. We see that David had the Spirit of the Lord come mightily upon him from the day of his anointing and forward. The anointing of the king is also something that's available today for the believer. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 and Revelation 5:10 both speak of God's call on New Testament believers to be priests and kings unto the Lord. The king's anointing, it speaks to us of authority. It's supernatural authority in the spirit realm. It's that power over sin, sickness, demons, and even the dead. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, that he gave his disciples authority. And it says in Matthew 10:1, "And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." And then in verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, 'Do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give.'" Jesus gave authority to his disciples, kingly authority, authority in the spirit realm to deal with the powers of the demonic, sin and sickness, and even power to raise the dead. And then in Mark chapter 16, we find that the same legacy has been left to New Testament believers. And just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to them in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, it says, "And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." This kingly authority that was transferred from Jesus to his disciples and then to all who believe, which includes those alive today who are believers, is available for us. But it's not something that just falls on a person everything in God must be appropriated by faith, and everything in God must be pursued with a diligent heart. The Lord says in His Word that He's a rewarder of the diligent seeker. There is something about the heart that constrains the Lord until He gives what He has promised that somehow thrills the heart of God. Be one who will pursue the anointing of the prophet and the anointing of the king. That these anointings are available today. God wants you to walk in His anointing, His supernatural power and authority on your life, that you might do great exploits for God and fulfill the will of God in your lifetime. That's all the time we have for today. Join me tomorrow as we study, how will you treat the anointing on your life? This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week. Hi, thanks for listening today. I would like to invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. We call our partners supply keepers. In the Old Testament, the supply keeper was the one that maintained and distributed the material supplies needed by the soldiers who were going out to the front lines of battle. Our supply keepers help us broadcast the gospel around the world. We are currently broadcasting our program in Russia, in Europe, in North Africa, in the South Pacific, and Australia, and we are longing to expand into the Middle East and to all of Asia. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS or email us through our website and let us know that you'd like to become a supply keeper, helping to disciple the nations before the return of our Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.